Good Morning, Everyone. As a news organization, we follow the economy. We have to follow the economy. But it's a numbers game. It feels sometimes like a numbers game, doesn't it, Farai?
It's absolutely so.
And when we look at the numbers, particularly, and you hear day after day that banks are writing down so-called toxic assets. They're basically taking them off their books, which means they go in, find something that's worthless, they sell it to somebody for pennies on the dollar, and that's the end of the matter, right?
It's like tattoo removal.
Exactly, but it's not the end of the matter. And tattoos may leave a scar or some sort of vague outline of what happened. The write-downs of hundreds of thousands, in some cases, when we get to the end of this, perhaps millions of toxic mortgage-backed assets could represent devastation in communities throughout the United States. Communities like, say, Cleveland, where here's Judge Raymond Pianca, Cuyahoga County Housing Court judge, speaking on the public radio station in Cleveland, describing the devastation and what it has meant for the city of Cleveland.
So we're seeing people from all over the country purchasing properties online, and many of them have never been to Cleveland, Ohio, do not know what the real estate dynamics are here. And unfortunately, the citizens many times are forced to maintain the property, cut the grass, board them up, and demolish the properties in certain cases, all without consequence to the owners who are across the country and in some cases in Canada and elsewhere.
Judge Pianca is describing a trade in essentially dead properties, abandoned houses and land in Cleveland that's the result of the wholesale collapse of the housing market in that struggling manufacturing community, with a profile of Cleveland in the New York Times magazine and with long-standing experience in covering urban issues. Alex Kotlowitz now joins us. He's a contributor to the New York Times magazine and author of the legendary book, There Are No Children Here. He teaches writing at Northwestern University. He joins us from Oak Park, Illinois. Alex, Cleveland is a land of devastation, true?
It is. I went out there, and I knew that they had been hit hard and hit early, but I was staggered by what the sort of wreckage is left behind by the foreclosure crisis. And I say left behind, and I think it's too early to even call it the aftermath.
Right. We're definitely in the middle of it. And one of the characters that you found out there, I wonder if you recognize the voice of this individual. Alex, listen.
The industry that's out there now in the subprime market, basically these are renegade mortgage companies. They thought they figured out a way to put together portfolios of loans and put them on Wall Street. And what they figured out was a way for people to abuse the practices. And I'm suggesting that the government should step in and regulate all mortgage lending in Ohio, in the country, so that we're not facing this.
It's Tony Brancatelli, councilman of Ward 12 in the city of Cleveland, basically back in December of 2007, calling for government intervention in the mortgage market, something that has definitely come to pass. He's ahead of his time, but it's not a happy thing, is it, Alex?
No, I mean, Tony's even said to me, you know, the sad thing is, I mean, they were calling for government intervention back as early as 2001. As Tony said to me recently, he said he's now lowered his standards. I mean, he's in some ways has his finger in the dike. He's just trying to keep his community from collapsing. He told me last we spoke that they were experiencing in his ward alone 2 foreclosures every day.
What does that look like? You've walked through these streets, you've been in the houses and peered out of the windowless openings in them. What does it look like?
Well, you know, you go down one street. I spent time on this one, two-block stretch, East 113th Street. Of 70 homes on that two-block stretch, somewhere between 29 to 35 houses are vacant and abandoned. And I estimate, because it's a little hard to tell with some of them, many of them, what happens in Cleveland, as soon as those houses go through sheriff's sale, the scavengers come in, they rip out the copper pipes, the electrical wires, the mechanics of the house, the hot water furnace, the boiler, they strip the aluminum siding. And what's kind of astonishing to me, they're even taking the cement slabs now from the front steps. I mean, it's as if the city has literally had its legs knocked out from under them. And the other problem is that most of these houses, I shouldn't say most, but so many of them are just wide open. Wide open to squatters, to teenagers, to gang members, and they have an enormous arson problem. I mean, Tony in his ward last year had over 60 arson fires of vacant houses, and they have no idea what it is. I think he thinks it may be vigilantes. I think in some ways he's projecting, because I think he'd like to see a lot of these houses himself just disappear.
Alex, you have a scene in this rendering of this community that is pretty amazing, talking to the council person about seeing a woman lying on the ground. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Yeah, I remember one morning I was in Cleveland, and it was early in the morning, and Tony called me on his cell phone, and he was all excited. I hadn't heard him quite that excited in the time I'd spent with him, and he told me that he had been out that morning checking out two vacant houses that we had just been to the previous week. And he said that while he was there, he looked at the yard next door, and he thought there was a woman lying on the ground. And he, of course, was alarmed and went over to check. And it turns out it was a 81-year-old woman with one leg who was on the ground whacking away at weeds with a hatchet and putting them into a cardboard box to be picked up as refuge the next day for garbage pickup. And he was just so excited. And he said to me, "My God, what fortitude!" And for me, it just was sort of brought home that he was really looking for hope, some sign of normal life in his community. And this was it, this 81-year-old, one-legged woman whacking away at weeds with a hatchet.
Wow. You know, the market is cruel. It was cruel on the way up, and it's cruel on the way down. And though you describe the scavenging of these vacant homes for parts and pieces that are sold on some sort of an aftermarket, in many ways, this is also the continuing working of the market. It sounds like lawlessness, but in fact, that's what happens in situations like this, whether you're talking about, Central Africa or Australia or downtown Cleveland.
Right. And, you know, there was a period, it's not no longer, when scrap prices were at astronomical prices. And the irony is all that scrap went to places like Mumbai and Beijing. I mean, basically, those cities for a number of years were built at the expense of ours.
And so the copper pipe was scavenged from Cleveland homes and probably sold on a scrap market that ended up in China.
Not probably, but it was. I mean, I've talked to the scrap association, and that's where all the scrap was going. It was going to India, to China, and to Russia, and to build their cities.
What about the issue of raising houses? You know, in Baltimore, where I grew up, there's been a lot of controversy over whether you can use knocking down decrepit houses as a form of urban renewal. Right. You talk about some of the figures. What's going on across the country?
Well, there last summer, the Congress appropriated $3 billion under what they call the Neighborhood Stabilization Program. And some cities like Cleveland, and I believe Baltimore, lobbied fairly vigorously to be allowed to use some of that money to raise houses. And so there are a number of communities, Cleveland included, that are using, you know, upwards of half of their money to tear down houses under the belief that these houses are now, you know, simply unsalvageable, and that we might as well have this vacant land, and when things improve, we can begin to sort of reimagine how our city might look.
The housing money is used
in Cleveland is that they've lost so many people.
Right.
I mean, the county, Cuyahoga County, has lost about the same number of people that New Orleans Parish has lost since Hurricane Katrina.
Well, the irony of using housing money to demolish homes is certainly chilling. I mean, you know, for so long, whether we're talking about Jack Kemp, politicians like the former heads of Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, even Bill Clinton for a long time spoke of home ownership as a kind of symbol of security and being a stakeholder in a neighborhood and a community. Do you think that sense of home ownership has been sort of tarnished, stained forever as a result of experiences like what you found in Cleveland?
Well, hopefully it hasn't been tarnished forever. But, you know, for me, what was most remarkable about Cleveland, when I went out there, I initially thought that the question that most intrigued me was what's happened to everybody. And I, you know, was calling all the homeless shelters and the schools. And for me, as I began to spend some time in the city, what was most remarkable to me weren't the people that had left, but the people who had stayed, and their homeowners, you know, people who had bought these homes 30, 40 years ago and simply were not going to let go of what they had. And it really, for me, brought home sort of, no pun intended, but brought home, I mean, the sort of importance and essential nature of having a place of your own.
Well, just having a mortgage doesn't mean you're the kind of person who's going to stay. I mean, that's really the key. It's a human dimension of the mortgage crisis that Alex Kotlowitz brings home. Thanks, Alex.